Good morning, everybody. This is the KFPK Outdoor Show. I'm Bob Sims. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Well, for the first week this year, it kind of feels like spring. A chilly spring, but still spring. The hills are green. I mean, green, green, green. The daffodils finally got a break and are booming. I've got a bunch of daffodils I've planted around my house over the years. And I'll tell you, every time they started to peek out, the rain just beat them back down to the ground. I didn't think they were going to make it. I don't know what Daffodil Hill's doing this year, but this week is any indication of my house. They'll be there. Anyway, waters are still high. Waters are very high in the Sacramento River. I drove up there. And for example, along the Garden Highway, they've been building houses along the Garden Highway for as long as I can ever remember. The newer houses they've built up there, they have built up on pillars and stilts. But the older houses are down on a level, a berm on the riverside, and the water is basically covering some of their backyards and in some cases right up to the houses. And in some of the newer ones, it's up to the backyard and wants to get in, but they've got that little itty-bitty amount of protection there. But the fact is there's a ton of water coming down that river. Keswick, as of yesterday afternoon, was still releasing, I think, 34,000 cubic feet per second. Normally, they'd be releasing 3,000. So that's 10 times the amount. And I'm not sure what Oroville's doing in Folsom, but basically what they're doing is whatever's coming in, they're letting out because they still have to be in their flood control mode. So if we get a Pineapple Express and it melts all the snow, they have storage to put it in. Now, a little bit later, then they'll start cutting back on the releases, although not as much as normal, in order to fill the reservoirs for summer irrigation and everything else. So it's all a computerized thing, and generally they do a pretty good job with it, but there's a lot of water coming down. Now, I just don't know. The big question mark, of course, in all this is the stripers, striped bass, and sturgeon, because let's face it, you got to do something a little different than you're normally going to do to catch them. We do have one report today, maybe two reports today, of some stripers taken in the San Joaquin. And, you know, there's been clearer water over there, but not necessarily a lot of fish. Well, somebody found some fish. So I think more people will be going over to the San Joaquin just because, and they caught them trolling, by the way. So we just haven't had one of those years for trolling. It's been bait fishing, trolling a little in the clear water. So we'll keep you posted, okay? In the meantime, the reservoirs are what's cooking. I mean, they're at least fishable. And even those, you know, you would think this week that they got off to a great start, but they kind of didn't. They're kind of just going along, and it's a little bit better than it was last week. But, you know, we got to remember we had that north wind on Wednesday, and it was cold. And then on Thursday, the north wind died down. It was still there, but it was still cold. And that doesn't do anything for the water temperatures. Now, here you have water temperatures in some of our reservoirs maybe getting up to 50 degrees, 51, 52 degrees, and we're complaining about the fish not biting, and yet up at Lake Almanor, Brian Ricucci of Big Daddy's Guide Service, I think they got 18 trout yesterday, all from like 2 to 3.5 pounds, water temperature, 38 degrees. So it just depends on where you are before you know, everything's relative, in other words. So anyway, we'll be getting reports from the following. We'll get a report on Clear Lake, both the bass and the crappie, from Berryessa, from a guy that specializes in fishing from the bank, just the bank, and he does pretty good. So that'll be interesting. We'll get reports on Folsom Lake. Not a whole lot of bass reports yet, which you would think they would start to come in, but and not numbers of trout and salmon, but still some nice quality trout and salmon coming out of Folsom. Pardee kind of took a step up this week. Robbie Dunham, who we usually depend on for Comanche, fished Pardee as well, and did okay on trout, and there was practically nobody there. So this is Pardee's fate this year. You know, you get out there, they plant a bunch of fish, and then the wind howls, and then it muddies up the shoreline, and then so people stay home, and then somebody sneaks out and catches a bunch of fish, including, by the way, one very fat kokanee. And then I heard that, now this kokanee was around 13 inches, and I heard of another 14.5-inch kokanee at the fork, which means that's over 15 inches long. Now, it's still got to be considered a rumor, but the question mark is out there for Pardee kokanee. We just don't know what to expect this year. If that 15-inch kokanee is an example of what's to come, it will be a good year there. We'll just have to wait and see. We will get a report on Comanche as well. And good news there, the fish aren't concentrated in just one section of the lake. They're all over the place. So that's good. Kurt Portocarrero of Sac River Guide, I caught him while he was fishing Shasta yesterday. They were specifically fishing for browns, and they had one, I think it was 27 inches, 26, 27 inches. That's a beauty. But he had fished the Sacramento River by Redding for trout and sent me some pictures. Beautiful trout. And that's when they're releasing over 30,000 cubic feet per second. I don't know how he did it, so he'll tell us. As I mentioned, Brian Ricucci will give us a report from Almanor. A little report on New Malonis Reservoir. Nothing much to report, though, except the lake is in really, really good shape. Really good shape. We talked to Chris Smith of the Happy Hooker. They went out a couple times this week, got some sturgeon. They made, as Chris said, a bad call yesterday. The tides were perfect for San Pablo, and they went there, and I think they hooked four fish, and they landed one legal one, lost another big one, a couple of shakers. But the people that fished right in Suisun Bay, I think one of those boats had nine sturgeon. So Chris was kidding himself about he made a bad call there, but anyway, there's a lot going on down there. Bullard's Bar, we'll get a couple different reports there from Rob Reimers and from Richie Height. The fish are starting to fatten up a little bit, grow just a little bit. Okay, there's a Fishing in the City program today. This will be the last Fishing in the City with trout until this coming November, which is too bad because I think the temperatures are still cool enough to do it. I'm not sure why the department has, you know, maybe they're looking at another calendar or something and said, well, in 1986 it was too warm to do. I don't know. But today's the last day with trout. Don Paganelli will join us and talk about that. That and Scott and Clyde and Barry, the whole works coming up in the next 2 hours and 45 minutes. Thanks for being here. Welcome back. Welcome back. Well, the ongoing saga of what's happening down in the Delta. Now, let's face it. The river, if you've seen the Sacramento River, I mean, that thing is really cooking. So that what that also means is you can't really even begin to fish it unless you fish the inside of a bend in a shallow flat or something like that, until you get down to where the river opens up and becomes a bigger river like at Rio Vista. And even Rio Vista is just cooking. And down below Rio Vista, when it gets even bigger, in other words, it can hold more water. Now's where your possibilities start. And then, even then, in the sloughs seem to be the better spot because they're somewhat protected from all the stuff coming down the river. So for all that, let's check with Barry Canavero of Fish Hookers Sport Fishing to see if there's been any change. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Bob.
So the only thing I have heard that's changed much, Barry, is a little increase in the water temperature.
Well, the water temperature, yeah, has definitely increased. But there's some fishing going on now. Of course, the sturgeon fishing is very good down at the Martinez Bridge and Ozite Pier, very good. And they're starting to pick up some fish along Sherman, outside of Sherman Lake there.
Oh.
Sturgeon. And I hear they're catching some stripers over on San Joaquin.
There are. We got a report from they found some fish up on the shoals.
Yeah, that's what I heard. We had a crab feed last night, and
yeah,
that's Clyde was telling me.
Yeah.
Nothing big, but seemed like they got some pretty good numbers.
Yeah, that's the first time we've heard of numbers trolling this year, really.
Yeah, but he told me a lot of 17.5-inch fish.
Yeah, yeah.
I did hear some guys that were plugging did pretty good yesterday on the San Joaquin, the lower San Joaquin.
So and plugging now. Let's narrow it down a little bit more. Still a lot of water.
Yeah, they said Sherman Lake, Big Break, stuff like that.
Okay. Well, I mean, I can understand. Even Sherman Lake has got to be high, but at least you can get a boat around in there without much problem now. And that's got to be kind of a refuge for them with all that river raging by.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at the river, it's really fast up here by Rio Vista, but the color is, you know, it's getting a little bit better.
Uh-huh.
And I think the McCollumy looks pretty good.
The only problem with the McCollumy is in that north wind. Usually Comanche stays clearer than Pardee. If Pardee gets anything at all, then it kind of settles out in Comanche, you know. But that wind, that, you know, Comanche's a wide open lake and Pardee is kind of a canyon lake, but that wind Wednesday, it kind of whipped up the shoreline at Comanche and turned the water, definitely tinted it, and that didn't help to the water color. And of course, when the McCollumy meets the Cosumnes, it's all over anyway, right?
Yeah, well, we had wind all week down here. Even in Sisson Slough, we had wind most of the week. And mostly north, the day Thursday, I think it was northeast wind.
Ew.
And,
cold.
So, yeah, it was cold, but it was, you know, it was kind of rough even in the slough. So, you know, it's getting better. I say, you know, man, this weather, like today, I mean, Monday, we're out Monday, it's going to be 73 or 76
yeah,
or something like that.
I know.
So, I mean, things are starting to turn around. It's just, you know, of course, that could make it worse on the Sacramento because if the snow starts melting that fast.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, just because it's 73 here doesn't mean it's 73 up there. So.
But it's warm enough to start because even in Reno, they're calling for warm weather.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's going to be some snow melting for sure.
Sure.
Now, I don't know. I haven't checked the releases or anything. Well, I just know that the water was going so fast every time I go by that, you know, I guess I'm going to stay where I am till the end of the month anyhow.
Well, there could be some snow melt going on, but because now I haven't done it for a few days, but every couple of days, what I do is I get on and I spend some time and I calculate like the amount of water coming into Folsom Lake, for example. And then I see what they're releasing from Folsom, and it's just about the same. So they're trying to maintain that.
I think that's happening.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean they've cut down on the releases because they're, you know, Folsom maybe a little bit, but like I said earlier, Shasta, as of yesterday afternoon, was letting out over 32,000 cubic feet per second. So they're keeping room in that lake, expecting more rains. Of course, that's not as much of a snow lake as the others are, but when it rains, that covers a lot of Northern California.
Yeah. So, I mean, this will be an interesting week because we do have some pretty good weather this week. And if the wind stays down, but I know that this is just when I heard that San Pablo Bay is not doing hardly anything for sturgeon. I think the Happy Cooker only got one fish each day, and everybody says the fish are moving up. And I mean, there was a pretty good bite now for it's going on for over a week, right around the Martinez Bridge and right below.
Yeah, so
that's been a pretty good bite.
Well, you know, Chris Smith told me yesterday, he says he looked at the tide. He says it's a perfect San Pablo Bay tide, and that's where he went sturgeon fishing. And while they got four fish, only one keeper, and then he didn't mention who, but another boat fishing closer to Martinez got nine sturgeon.
Yeah, they were fishing Ozark Pier, that boat. The other, I heard he only got one keeper, yeah. That's the one I was talking about.
Yeah.
So
anyway, things are definitely
good to say. Facebook, he doesn't lie.
Anyway, yeah, things are perking up. Anyway.
Yeah, I think you know with this good weather, of course, a lot of guys are going skiing, and the halibut fishing is starting to pick up a little bit. You know, next thing you know, we're going to have salmon out in the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we're still here until the end of May anyhow, so we'll find fish.
Yeah. I think I was very encouraged by the San Joaquin fish. We knew there had to be some fish over there. And now in the last week and a half, sturgeon fishing has really turned around, like right where you said, right down mm-hmm. Sassoon Bay there. And I was soon up Sassoon Slough and the whole works. So anyway, yeah. We're in good shape. Okay, Barry, well, I think I got a gut feeling we're going to have even a bigger change for the better next week.
Yeah, I hope so.
Okay. Thanks. Good luck this week.
Okay.
Bye. Barry Canavero, Fishhooker Sport Fishing. If you want to book a trip, 916-870-4225. After the break, we'll play that little conversation I had with Chris Smith. He's very humble about it, you know. I mean, he had these great tides. He was going to go take advantage of it, but the tables got turned on him a little bit. So anyway, at least you know you can depend on him. All right, don't go away. I got asked this week, I said, hey, how much is a fishing license, by the way, Bob? I says, well, let me check it out. I said, what do you want to do? I said, well, I want to go sturgeon fishing. I said, could you want a two-rod stamp? He said, yeah, that's a good idea. So, for a resident California fishing license and a two-rod stamp and a sturgeon report card, you're looking at just under $75. And then, of course, a couple of weeks ago, the Department of Fish and Wildlife comes out with a statement how they're magnifying their effort to recruit hunters and anglers. And the reason they're doing this is because there's not as many hunters and anglers as there used to be. And here's the thing. California's population keeps going up, but the percentage of people that live in California to hunt or fish keeps going down. So the Department of Fish and Wildlife, headed by Charlton Bonham, has formed an executive-level task force, hired a full-time coordinator to head up the effort, hired a research scientist, and finalized a recruitment, retention, and reactivation action plan, which they call R3. Now, let's start. They don't mention anywhere in this release that their efforts are going to make fishing better and fishing hunt and hunting better. But they want to introduce more people to fishing and hunting. And Charlton Bonham says, where he got this, I don't know, dreamed about while he's locked in his office down there. The fishing and hunting community has rallied around the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and we're now poised to tackle the challenges before us. What they're doing is they're spending more money for more people to do nothing. You know, they could just simply start by spending the money where it was designed to be spent. For example, the planted trout program, which is a disaster in Northern California. And up until this year, the kokanee program, which has been run by totally incompetent people. The whole department knows it. Same people are still running it. They did a good job this year, or I should say last fall. But you know what? They didn't do an exceptional job. They just did their job, which means the 3 years before that, they didn't do their job. And you wonder why you lose fishermen and hunter? You ever have a conversation with anybody about how the deer hunting is in the state? How about the pheasant hunting? You don't even hear about those things anymore, unless they're a negative. So anyway, what is the reason I bring this up is California's become so political that the people that run these departments are nothing but pawns to, like, the governor and resources secretary, and they don't care. I'm sorry. They just don't care. And we've seen the evidence of it. So now we do have good fishing in certain areas and everything. A lot of that has to do with private hatcheries providing fish. And then the Southern Sea are lucky enough to get their normal plants of trout from the department, but it's broken in Northern California, and they don't say anything. But they're doing a bad job. Anyway, maybe this new task force can tackle the problem, and we'll all be better off. Okay, now I talked to Chris Smith of the Happy Hooker. They're based in Martinez during the sturgeon season. They went fishing yesterday. Chris, you got out sturgeon fishing. Was it today or yesterday?
We went out today, and Jonathan ran the boat 2 days ago.
Okay. Conditions are starting to lend themselves a little bit more to good sturgeon fishing, huh?
Yes. I looked at the water temperature today, and we're ramped up to 53 degrees, so that's the best water temperature we've seen.
Oh, boy. That could trigger things, huh?
Yes.
So did the fish seem like they were more active?
They certainly did. You know, we ended up with the one fish today, and we had two shakers, and we lost another one. But you know, some of the reports here from the deep water, I feel like I overshot the runway because there was very solid fishing right below the harbor here this morning.
In Martinez.
Yeah, I heard one boat did very well. A six-pack friend of mine that got 11 sturgeon to the boat.
Oh my goodness, that's a career day.
Yeah, four of them were slot fish, and I think the rest were what he referred to as jumbo shakers.
Yeah,
like a measurable fish.
Yeah, wow, that's good action. Now, what's so you went to San Pablo because the tides were good there, and so you got a little San Pablo remorse going, huh?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, that's like the fisherman's Bible, you know. You look at the tides, and, I mean, hey, we had a minus side there today, so I figured, all right, you know, we're going to go down there and whack and stack them.
Oh, well, live and learn, right, Chris?
Right.
So what bait seems to be the preferred treat for them?
Well, you know, the guys today fished up river, and they got most of their action on salmon roe. You know, typically we have better luck on, you know, the shrimp baits and stuff like that in San Pablo. And that's what we used primarily today.
Okay, so shrimp baits in San Pablo and upstream, it seems it's turned to salmon roe, huh?
Yes.
Huh. That's funny because, you know, it just seems like to be the area, like just above that, they've been catching what fish they have caught on eel. And then in the Napa River, they won't even use eels. So it's just, it's crazy, but it's almost like somebody draws a line and say, above this line, you use this. Below this line, you use this. So anyway, so you anticipate with that water temperature, this has got to be a pretty good two-week period coming up here, huh, Chris?
I think so. I think things are, these fish are finally starting to bite, you know. When you think about these sturgeon, you know, they get really big, but they've got very slow metabolisms, you know what I mean? Bigger cold water and you know, they're kind of a lazy fish just going with the current, so they don't really expend a lot of energy, you know, so they can go off the bite for serious, you know, lengthy amounts of time.
That's Chris Smith running the Happy Hooker. Actually, he and his son Jonathan are. And occasionally Jim Smith will run it as well. Of course, they've got a great new boat coming online. It's going to be the talk of everything. Quite a boat. Anyway, Chris's number to book a trip, area code 510-223-5388. I think it's going to be prime time the next 3 or 4 weeks down there. Okay, after the break, Mr. Dan Bacher. Welcome back. Well, things are starting to cook a little bit. Let's find out what the fish sniffers Mr. Dan Bacher has going on. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Bob.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. What's up?
I went to a great event last week, one that I've been to 15 times since it started. That's the Monterey Bay Salmon and Trout Project's fundraiser, and it's the Sand Crab Classic Perch Tournament.
That's right.
And I just love going to it because it's one of my favorite events to go to every year. Because it has such a good community spirit, and it's so different from other events because it's the only perch tournament that's anywhere, at least in Northern or Central California. Uh-huh. And it was started by Alan Bushnell, and he's a kayak fishing guide, and he has a radio show down there in Santa Cruz. And then the other guy, co-organizer, is Mike Baxter, who's a guy that I spent many hours fishing when he was captain of a party boat when he was in his 20s down in Monterey Bay. Mm-hmm. And they had, as usual, it was filled early. They got the 300 participants in 2 days.
And wow.
After they announced the date of the Derby this year. And they raised $5,000 for the Monterey Bay Salmon and Trout Project. And it's important to realize that if it wasn't for this project, anglers wouldn't be fishing for steelhead in the San Lorenzo River and local creeks. And so they had a really good year on the San Lorenzo. My friends that fished it, that also fished American, they did pretty good.
That's great. I mean, that's a river that, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago was known for its runs of steelhead. Then they all but disappeared.
Yeah, it was a destination river that people from Sacramento used to go down to. And now most people I talk to, they don't even know anything about it. But it was a legendary river that people from all over used to go to. The fish for the silver runs and steelhead runs. Mm-hmm. It was the cream to cream of steelhead rivers.
Yeah. Well, it's the southernmost one, isn't it?
No. The Carmel River is probably the southernmost one that has a big run of fish. And the Carmel River is known for its big fish that go up to 20 pounds.
Yeah. Not many of them, though.
No. But they in fact, it wasn't for this project. They would have, you no longer have the unique Carmel River run of steelhead. because it was the Monterey Bay Salmon and Trout Project and the Carmel Red Steelheaders that were able to save the fishery, because there was 4 years it didn't flow to the sea. And during that time, they maintained them in facilities, you know, that were away from the river, but they were in ponds. And then once the water went back into the river, they put steelhead back in there, and then so they kept that original wild stream going. They also kept the coho run, the southernmost coho run, alive. And even though you can't fish for them anymore. But the big fish that was caught during the Derby
The Perch Derby.
Yes, by Joe Gomez of Watsonville, was a giant barred perch weighing 2 pounds, 15.5 ounces, and measured 16 inches long.
Wow, that's pretty good.
And he caught it while using sand crabs for bait in Santa Cruz. And he was fishing with his sons and a friend. And the second biggest fish was one weighing 2 pounds, 15 ounces, that was caught by Jay Punkar. And that was caught off Big Sur. But they were caught at a variety of locations. Most of the fish were caught in Monterey Bay. But they were caught all the way from Big Sur up to San Gregorio near Half Moon Bay in San Mateo County. And in previous years, they've been caught... all along the coast from Half Moon Bay down past Big Sur up to San Francisco Bay, where some fish have been weighed in also. But most of it's Monterey Bay, because that's the closest, and also that's one of the best perch fisheries on the coast, because it has the most diverse array of different type of fish, of perch species. The first year off in 2005, I saw in like an hour and a half, off the Santa Cruz Pier alone, 7 different varieties of perch.
Isn't that something? Yeah. Are there any restrictions on any? Now, you know, there's rubber lips. That's a well-known perch.
Yes.
And there's others. Are there any restrictions on any of those species of perch?
I don't think so. But it doesn't. It's not an issue in this Derby, because the red-tail perch has, I think it now has size restrictions on the North Coast. And I'm not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
At least those.
The reason I ask is I came back from Fort Bragg last year, and we just made our way down the coast.
Yeah.
And, you know, I stopped in this little place and we had lunch. It's a little tiny harbor where you can put a boat in with a hoist. And these guys are fishing and catching these fish off the little pier there.
Is that Albion that you were at, or no?
No, it was way below that.
Oh, way below
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Point Arena.
Probably, yeah, Point Arena,
yeah.
That was it. So, but they were catching some beautiful perch, and I just thought to myself, I says, my goodness, I'm not familiar with this enough to, I don't know if I'm keeping a bad, a prohibited species or not, but it sure looked like fun.
Yeah.
Okay, Dan, well, thank you for the report.
The best thing always is look up the regulations.
Right, right.
Okay. Never believe what somebody tells you. Go look them up.
I know. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you later. Dan Barker of The Fish Sniffer. He writes about a lot of that stuff that nobody else writes about, and bless his heart for doing that. Okay, after the break, we'll talk to Rod Reimers about Kokanee and Bullard's Bar.